19th. And we have roll call, starting with Mr. Greiner.
Tom Greiner, present.
Rolando Alonso, present.
Gloria Flying, present.
Douglas Ward, present.
Norm McClellan, present.
Okay, we have, everybody's here. We'll have a pledge of allegiance. Mr. Mayor, would you lead us in the pledge of allegiance?
My pleasure, thank you. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Council, do we have any added agenda items?
I have two.
Okay, what are they?
Mainly it's questions on the weed ordinance.
Weed ordinance.
Mm-hmm.
Are you talking about the weed?
Well, that's the other one, is the recreational marijuana ordinance. I just have questions on them and I, you know, I wanted to talk about them.
Okay, then we'll put those on item number 11, or other matters. Public comments from the gallery? I'd like to note for the record, do we have some dignified guests today? Our mayor, Mr. Mullenix, city councilor Karen Ward, Kitty Shields, ex-city councilor and ex-mayor, and Mrs. Greiner. It's nice to have all four of you here. Approval of meeting minutes. Do we have any changes, additions to the meeting from Wednesday, April the 15th? Which is so far away, I can't remember.
I move we approve.
I looked over it.
All right, further comments? All right, we'll take a vote, please.
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, meeting minutes have passed. Item number 7. Cory, is that going to be you or is it going to be?
I can just take it over if you want.
Tammy.
An ordinance, amending ordinance, establishing medical marijuana dispensaries?
Uh-oh. What agenda?
Okay.
No, you're on number 7.
Introducing.
You're looking at the other minutes.
Oh. Forget that one. Okay?
Don't mess this up.
Introduction to new planning commissioner, town leader. It's all yours.
All right, I think I met all of you informally, but I'm Tammy Wisco. I'm happy to be here and been working with Cory and Rick over the last, really, I guess, month to get up and running and figure out where all the codes are at and what's been updated, what hasn't. And a little bit of background on me, I'm a civil engineer and a city planner. I grew up in Oregon, actually I grew up in Elkton. I don't know if anybody knows where Elkton is, but it's a very small town, similar to Lapine, actually, on the other side of the mountains, southwest of Eugene.
Oh, okay.
Northwest of Roseburg, so out in the country towards the coast. Went to undergrad at University of Portland and then spent the last 17 years traveling around the country. My husband was in the Air Force and had the opportunity to work as an engineer and a planner pretty much in all regions of the country except for maybe the Midwest. So we lived in a lot of fun places. Most recently, the Gulf Coast, where I helped a town of about 20,000 in a very similar role to what I'll be playing here with you, with understanding codes and ordinances and working with the public to make sure things are built and modified according to code and looking at modifying code as appropriate for regions. And then moved back here about a year ago with my family to settle and stay forever. So we live in Bend, so I'm not too far away. And Cory and I at this point are almost talking daily and really excited to join the team and excited to work with both Rick and Cory and Ashley and Patty here down the front to have a cohesive group that can work with you all to make improvements we want to make and help the residents as well. So do you guys have any questions for me on my background or expertise?
What, is your husband retired now or?
He is not, no, he switched to the National Guard.
Oh, okay.
But he is a physician at BMC.
Oh, yeah, very good.
He's a dermatologist and Mohs surgeon there.
Very good.
Well, I have two questions.
Yes, sir.
Tammy Wischko, PEAICP LLC. What does all that mean?
PE is my professional engineering license.
Okay.
So I'm a certified professional engineer. AICP is American Institute of Certified Planners.
Okay.
So you get different certifications. Both of them require an exam and plenty of fees and a number of years of experience before you can even apply for them. The LLC is just Limited Liability Corporation. That is what my company is set up as with the state of Oregon.
Okay. Then number two, something that we have all discussed is information. We don't get any. We used to get updates monthly from Deschutes County on what permits they're issuing and so forth. They stopped doing that months and months, 6, 7, 8 months ago. Can you assure us that, I know Corey's been working on it, that we can get monthly updates? You know, people come up to us and they say, what's going on with a lot over here?
Right.
Where they tore a Homestead Tavern down. We go, I don't know. You know?
Right. And that's
something that... Can you assure us that we can start getting that?
Yes. Okay. And that's something that Corey and Rick and I have been talking about over the last couple of weeks is the best way to do that. Now that we have, there's more folks here, Corey's here full time, I'm coming on board, we can have much more of a fluid communication, I think. And Corey, I think, can address maybe what he wants to do more, but we, at the meetings, would like to discuss some of the things that are going on, whether they're ones that require decisions by the Planning Commission or not. But then Corey also has a plan to update you monthly with, I think, memos to be sent out. Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Sure. Yeah, you'll get a sense of that in a couple weeks from now. And honestly, I'm pretty open to working with you if you don't like the format that I put it in. But my hope is to probably keep it bulleted so that you can get a good, thorough update, but without having to sit down and read a 3-page memo. Additionally, the bullet points are more so the start of a conversation instead of giving you all the information. So if you see something on the list, you know, you go down through to the fourth one and you want to know a little bit more about that, come by City Hall, give me a call, bring it up at the next Planning Commission meeting. We're happy to give you more information on that. So that's my plan. You know, the first day will be at the end of August, and I'm going to have Tammy and I are going to work together to put that together. And
well, it's more applications too, you know, mm-hmm. for permits and different things that we used to get a list of that came through the county.
You know, the county had that big software system.
Yeah.
So one of the things we've been using, kind of hand-doing it with an X. So the county just hits a button.
Yeah.
And it prints anything in Lapine or Southern Deschutes County, name, you know, address.
Yeah.
There's no staff time. We pay her $90 an hour. So I mean, we want to be careful that whatever
right.
we do isn't, you know, so, but we're going to have I don't know what you plan using, but I think when we get applications, we need to enter them in so almost we can hit a print on address, location,
yeah.
and maybe what they've applied for, conditional use, zone change.
Right.
Of course, that doesn't give tons of detail.
That was my point with the bullet points, is that it would give you an idea of what the application was,
yeah.
you know, the location, maybe a little bit more of that, but it certainly wouldn't be a lot of detail, like Rick just said.
Well, and that would give us, I mean, if we did have a question, it would give us an opportunity to talk to you before the meeting, or if necessary, bring it to the next Planning Commission meeting, rather than just saying, I don't know.
Yeah.
So.
No, I agree. Yeah, I've been getting the planning development type calls, and you know what you also see, or at least I'm starting to learn, is a lot of conversation about things.
Before,
but
yeah.
but if it's not a formal application to
right.
the city, you know, I'm not going to comment on that. Someone calls and asks about what's happening over in this lot, and we don't have anything on record. I don't have a formal comment to say on that. But with things that are submitted to the city,
yeah,
applications, I definitely can
we had an email
share that.
Yesterday
from right.
someone Corey had talked about, and it was all, there were two or three planning type things. Yeah, I think, I'm not sure of any of them, there's an application, at least, you know. And so we don't get caught up in gossip, and we're not going to provide you paragraph or an email.
No.
On, we've had maybe someone just stop by verbally, and they walk in and they just say, you know, I'm thinking about doing X over here.
Yeah.
It's not really even a public record at that point. and there's confidentiality involved, and they're thinking about things. But then maybe someone said something to the chamber director or to the mayor. And then, you know, that doesn't mean, though, that it's ready to be emailed. When we email something out, it's available to the press. It's available to everyone. It's a public record. So that's also a fine line. I would say over half the things we deal with, we don't have applications on. There are people talking about doing things. We just spent a half hour with a gentleman who is talking about something. Now, I mean, in your report, you can say we're talking about this, but then you have to be a little bit careful when they haven't yet even applied, saying it's Don Greiner building at this location, this. I don't know what you think. You will run people out of town.
Yeah,
no, if you can't even stop by City Hall without being on the internet the next day.
Yeah.
So you kind of need to wait until it's an application in writing, then it's a public record.
Absolutely.
So if you see something, hear something, I think one-on-one we could say, hey, yeah, somebody came by. But as far as sending it as an email, then it's a public record, and you have to be careful. So it's a balancing act.
Well, the situation like with the carnival coming to town, I mean, it was very good that you put it out there in an email, because I got so many questions on that, you know.
I did.
And, I mean, that would have been really bad if we didn't know anything about it at all. But we don't know a whole lot about it.
That was an event application, not a... See, that's what you're going to have to work out. When we get calls and stuff comes through here, I just signed a liquor license for something that's happening in a parking lot. I mean, where do you draw the line? Those aren't... Man, you over the next few months, those are not planning decisions or planning commission decisions. That was a temporary use permit.
Right.
That they applied for, and they bought a temporary business license. There was no zoning issues. There was no land use issues. So it's more of what you'd like to know just because you're involved. But how do we know and sit and, okay, I need to send the planning commission something because there's a carnival coming to town. Help us with that, because it's...
Yeah, see, I see that as a land use issue. I don't remember ever discussing carnivals in any of our ordinances.
Never had one here, really.
Temporary use permits, like for the Frontier Days, for serving liquor and stuff like that. Yes, we did discuss, but we never talked about, you know, a company coming in and having an event per se. You know,
we're not interested in idle gossip. We're not interested in talking. We're not interested in causing anybody any trouble. What we are interested in is if Deschutes County passes out a building permit, approves a building permit, and it's given to somebody who's going to build a bar, we need to know about it. Now, maybe we don't have anything to do with it. That's fine and dandy. But we should know what is.
Well, actually,
idle gossip, we don't care about it. If it's something that is going to happen, because somebody's already paid the fee or whatever, that's public record,
right? You went to a building permit, and she's talking about a carnival, and there is no building permit.
I understand.
Right.
So
it's a land use, though.
Yeah.
Well,
Maybe not really.
If you go to malls, we'll have a carnival for 3 days all over.
That was a vacant commercial lot that's for sale. So that's kind of the difference.
There wasn't a land use decision on that particularly.
They rented it from the owner of the lot.
Well, and that's, you know, when people come and say, what's going on here? You know, then that was worked out with the owner. I mean, that was perfectly legal what they did, but we don't know that. You know, we didn't know that.
Yeah, what we're trying to figure out is how much we get. This stuff comes in all the time,
and that happened about a week and a half.
We're just out a monthly update. Again, I'm asking for help here.
I'm trying to explain to you
What I recommend is starting with the official applications that come in, because those are public record and we're not disclosing something that's confidential at this point.
Right.
We can reach out to the county and see if the county can issue us monthly reports of the permits that were issued, something similar to what we were getting before.
Yeah.
There, like Rick said, there are a lot of things that come in the door that I won't even know about. As a consultant, everything goes to Corey and he's and Rick, and they've got to figure out, okay, is this planning and do we need to funnel this higher, or is this more of an events issue? And they're juggling so many different things that we may need to massage what the information that you feel like you need more of or less of as we get into it. But that would be my recommendation, is we start with those hard and fast applications and permits. And then if there's something else that you feel like, oh, this went on, but I didn't know about it and I wanted to, maybe we can bring that up and see if it's something that could fit into that announcement.
There's an awful lot of gossip going around in town. They're going to say, well, we're going to do this here and we're going to do that there. And I've heard, I don't know how many times, I said, well, that's strange. I've never heard anything about it, and that's all I can say. And I don't want to say anything unless I know that it's the right thing to say.
Right, and like Rick said, Corey is getting calls, I don't know how many calls a day, but it sounds like a multitude of calls of just people saying, hey, looking at purchasing this lot, or I own this lot, can I do this? And so there might be a lot of talk like that it, you know, the city can't weigh in on any of that other than advise them, you know, this is what our code says, and according to our code, you'd have to apply for conditional use permit or it's an outright use. But there's no documentation of that goes on at the city because it was just a discussion, and it may or may not happen. So I see a lot of that happen, particularly in small towns, because everybody knows each other and knows each other's business and what you're working on, and there's a lot of discussion like that. And sometimes folks don't know that there are a lot of processes they have to go through before they can do that work. So if we can start with those structured items first, and then see how that's working, and have some flexibility, since we're working together new as a team, and but with Corey here on the ground every day, I think that's going to help keep a continual long-term record of what's going on, and give somebody a little more time to be able to compile those for everybody. I think
an email, there's nothing wrong with shooting a quick email, say, hey, do you know what's happening at this corner? And then
absolutely,
they can respond to you one-on-one. That's not so much of a public record. But if it's officially going out to the Planning Commission, then it becomes a public record. So when you hear some, we can't control gossip. And I said that to the lady yesterday. I said, you know, I mean, my God, I cannot control gossip. And, you know, what about the Dollar Tree is coming? I said, well, there's no Dollar Tree coming. No one's applied for a Dollar Tree. There's no property over you think the Dollar Tree is going. No one's done anything. Well, I heard, and I said, I'm sorry. There's nothing I can do, but I don't feel it. Your response, I don't know anything about it. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, I know nothing about it.
We had one at one time, Dollar Store.
Dollar Tree, Dollar Store.
So. I've got a question, though, for overall, in the long term, as far as who's going to be, what is the long term view with you? What are you going to be? Are you going to be here? Is Corey, are you grooming him to take over?
That's our goal,
job?
Over the next year.
And over the next year?
Yeah.
And then your position will be what?
I have an 18-month contract with the city, and if the city is, you know, if we're mutually happy with the arrangement and it's working out for everybody, it's written such that it can be extended.
Okay, and you're going to handle all the planning end of it?
The planning end, and the way it works right now, because the city has a limited budget, and I am a consultant right now, calls all go to Rick and Corey, and they're working out a lot of the entry-level questions that come right in the door. They're processing a lot of things. When it comes to a level where either they need help, they don't have time, or it becomes more of a planning issue or more of an application, they'll send it my way just to really streamline the cost to the city. So I won't always know every single discussion that's going on a day-to-day basis, but once it gets to an application, then I get more involved.
What happened with Bill, he left, and I talked to him about why, you know, besides he didn't want to work as much and he had some other clients. But what he said is what happened here, and that's what we're trying to avoid, and Corey and I talked about, is avoiding this initial stuff. What was happening is someone would come in and we would hand them a business card and they would call Bill Adams. Two things happen. One is the clock starts, you know, because he charges by the hour. But he said, he's getting calls every day. He said the other jobs, he didn't have any. He was a contract planner at some other place, but he wasn't getting, just kind of call it, just, it's realtors. You know, you get realtors every day. And he's getting, his phone's ringing night and day, and he said, you know, that is not what I signed up for. And so I said, let's not make that mistake again. Let Corey, and that's one of the reasons we hired Corey, was have someone here full time. But we can take these initial calls and decide, is it ready yet to have someone at her expertise level to deal with it? Because really, a whole lot of them are way ahead of, they just don't ever happen.
Mm, right.
You know, they just want to know about something. I talked to a guy in the hall today that came in, and it was about land use. And, you know, he wasn't even 1% into his process. So, but what was happening is that person would have called up Bill. And then, you know, so we're trying to balance when you need to actually have a planner involved, make it productive and everything, and then we, and Corey didn't go to school to become a planner, so this is all new. It's a
I'm learning.
Yeah.
Very quickly.
So.
Well, one thing, though, you know, before, I have to go by our past experience, and there were a lot of, when our former city person was here, were a lot of decisions that were made that we were not involved in, that it was, he took it upon himself to go ahead and approve or not approve, and we got involved after the fact, and I don't, you know.
He was a planner. He was a AICB or whatever it is, and he had six of those behind his name. But
we weren't even in the loop. You know, until after all was said and done, and that was not a very good feeling for planning commissioners, you know.
Well, also, I think this planning commission could take some of the pressure off of Corey, you, given with a little responsibility. There's stuff that we could handle that maybe before was being handled by one person, and it should have been maybe designated to
There's a separation of roles.
Yeah, and that is one of the things we have on the agenda, just since Corey and I are new to this team, to talk through what those roles might be. And I don't know, is that the next agenda item? It's not, but with your permission, can we continue the discussion into the roles?
No, I'll think about
it. Oh, be hard nose now. See how you are.
Warm welcome.
Warm welcome.
So one of the documents that is in the binder, at least is going to be in the binder, I don't know if Patty has them all in there yet or not, but will be by the time you pick it up, I think next week, is the Lapine Ordinance for the Land Use Procedures Code. It's Procedures Code. It's, if you need the number, it's 2011-03.
Yeah, I have.
And that is, it's a good outline that the city set up when the ordinances were put in place to discuss those division of labor roles and to discuss the public notification processes, because certain things require public notification for a certain amount of time before you have a public hearing. Some things require a public hearing, some things don't. So I did a really quick summary of the different types of actions. Let me just pass those around to talk about those, because it gets to exactly this point that I think you're all making. I'll wait till they're all around. The procedures code gets into a lot more detail, but I just wanted to outline the three different types of actions. These types of actions are very similar in other cities. Different cities take maybe different approaches on how it goes through the individual steps and whether, you know, council has a hearing or whether the planning commission has a hearing. But in general, these are common categories. So the first one that the procedures code talks about is the development action, which are a lot of the common actions that are coming in right now. The simpler applications have a lot line adjustment or do some kind of a permit, a land use permit, but a smaller scale. Sign permits, setback determinations, some minor site plan reviews, lot coverage determinations. So they come in and, you know, I'm going to build this commercial building. Do I meet the requirements of the code? Those sorts of things. And those can be, according to the code of Lapine, they can be handled administratively. Mostly it's set up that way to expedite the process, because if everything came to the Planning Commission, you guys would have to come here probably four times a month, like, you know, once a week probably, to keep the city in compliance with the time requirements that the city has to comply with an application when it comes in the door. So those are the sorts of things that the city set up at the guidance of the state and allowed by state. The state sets up certain regulations for cities as to what they can have control of, and this is one of those things. So that Corey and Rick and I can keep things moving for the city, and we don't keep residents and property owners waiting for a long time. Now, there might be, say there's a large site plan review that comes in that's a controversial one, or the Planning Commission has specific interest in, that certainly can come to Planning Commission. It doesn't have to be resolved at the administrative level. So there's a little bit, there's some staff discretion that the code allows. And those sorts of things we'll figure out as we work together and communicate as to what issues those are that need to be set at Planning Commission. But really that is set up to streamline the process so that you aren't all bogged down by a night till midnight, four nights a week. The next action that it outlines is this land use action, which is the next step up in its complexity and amount of oversight and review. It falls into that quasi-judicial plan amendments or zone change, so something like a review of a zone change. That's a big change. That's a change to an ordinance. This would be something more on the level of an individual property or a small grouping of properties, not a whole area of town that the city decides they want to rezone. But say a property owner comes in and they want to change their traditional commercial lot to a commercial mixed-use lot. That's something that would be considered a zone change and an ordinance change in the mapping. So that would have to go through a bit of administrative work up front that comes in the door, and either Corey or I will go through it and see did they submit everything that we needed to make the decision. And if they don't, we get back to them and ask, you know, here's a letter and here are the remaining items that we still need before we can consider this application complete. And then once the application is complete, a time starts ticking as far as how much time the city has to respond. And with those, they can be reviewed at the Planning Commission. Some of them, particularly a zone change, would need to go through, or variance. Not a variance, wouldn't have to go through hearing, but a zone change would need to go through hearing. And so there needs to be notification to the public. But some of them don't. So again, there's some leeway that the city staff can make. For the most part, though, they would need to come through the Planning Commission, particularly, like I said, if it's a zone change in mapping or in text. The one thing that the cities can set up a little bit differently, and Lapine has chosen to do so, is that in this case, with a quasi-judicial plan amendment, it comes to the Planning Commission, and the Planning Commission has a public hearing. And then the recommendation of the Planning Commission goes to the council. I'm assuming this is a process that you've all followed and probably very familiar with. But city council, depending on the issue, does not necessarily have to have a hearing on it. And they can just adopt the decision that the Planning Commission made, unless they really want to discuss it. And they can call it up and put it on their agenda to discuss and have further discussion on it. But it doesn't have to be the case. The final and more larger discussion is the legislative action, and we have that on our agenda to talk about for some future steps in the next 6 months. But legislative action would be something that the city chooses to make a broad policy decision on. And the council and Planning Commission have been doing these for quite a bit. I've seen several amendments that you all have passed through, but something that either adds a new ordinance, you're one of the recent ones, the marijuana change to medical. The medical marijuana, adding it to certain zones as an outright use. Those sorts of things fall under that legislative action. A large grouping of zoning change would be under that legislative action, which again, a large public announcement, and a public hearing, much larger scale with full involvement of Planning Commission and Council. So those are the three categories. Would be interested in hearing feedback from you all as far as how you feel about some of the different development actions. I really think that for your time commitment and for the city's for the city to streamline things, there are some things that just really need to be done at the administrative level. those being those smaller items that come out. However, if there is something, you know, that comes up that you hear about, please check in with Corey so we can make sure that you're getting all the right information that you need. And we'll certainly keep you appraised of where those are at. The other thing on the back that was a big part of that procedures code, which I'm sure you're all familiar with, is just the disclosures, both the ex parte contacts and then the personal knowledge. So pretty standard, but by law, if you have discussions about an issue before you've had a hearing on it, you need to disclose it and disclose what you discussed, and then give that party that you had the discussion with the opportunity to either object or agree with the discussion you had. And then if you have personal knowledge of a lot or friendship with somebody on that lot, it needs to be disclosed publicly so everybody's aware of what your connections are. So, are there any questions on that? Pretty quick overview. Has that generally been your experience with the way procedures have been going? Or is that a shift in...
I don't see it really as a shift.
Okay. Well, I mean, that's good.
As a shift from the way we've done things in the past.
We've only had one major thing to work on, and that was the zoning change.
Well, the marijuana ordinances.
But that was, you know, highly done over by the city council. There's nothing we could do with that anyway.
Yeah. Well, we did have hearings on that, and, you know. So, no, I think that pretty much is, you know, on the things that we were involved in, I think that's pretty much the way it's gone.
Yeah, okay.
I think if we work on that mutual communication process, I think that's going to make everything flow smoother and make you all feel more involved, make us more aware of what your issues are. To me, it's important, too, as staff and consultant, that we're aware of what you're hearing in the public and what the issues are that are out there, because it's a lot more ears and eyes on the street, too, which makes a big difference. And not gossip, like you referenced, but, you know, there's a flooding issue on one lot that maybe we're considering an application for, that we need to know more about that flooding issue, and we did see the big rainstorm last week, and aren't aware of it. You know, things like that are, I think it's great to have that communication open.
Well, remember, we're here for one reason only, is because we all have the same vision for what Lapine wants to grow up to be. And that's very, very, if it wasn't important to us, we wouldn't be, I'd be home watching Oprah on TV. You know, so we just want to make sure that Lapine progresses and moves forward to be a nice, clean, well-kept community. So now that leads me to the next question for Mr. Allen. Yeah, see there, you knew I was going to talk about you.
No, I listened to everything you're saying.
Where are you on residential code enforcement?
Well, we have not yet gotten onto some too many new ones, but we're working on some. That's just what we do, is do that when we can, and because of other things, we have not been able to yet spend as much time, but we will. We went to court on the one railroad. And, you know, sat in the courtroom, circuit court, and I sat up front with them. And they ruled on our behalf, fined him $100. I mean, I think that what you have to understand, code enforcement works for those who plan to follow the codes.
That's true.
If not, it's one at a time and a long, slow, and expensive process. So this one, which has 300 bags of garbage and two or three motorhomes and mobile homes and four pit bulls and everything to go along with all of it in between. You know, we are starting out. We will now move to the next level in that process. They had to file some other papers electronically, which they did last week after we left the courtroom. Then there's a next step. And so it's, well, that's what we're doing. second one, the one on Cagle and Huntington Road, the county. We had already sent a demand letter to him, which went nowhere. He told me he's going to fix it, but didn't. And so now the county, I had them take that one on, and so they then sent the letter. He's meeting with them out there, which he met with me when I sent the letter. So that's just repeat, but that's where we are. So then they'll give him so many days to clean it. Then he won't get it done. Then they will give him an extension. It is, if you don't do all of that, it's what it does. So, you know, what we do is we had one. We were ready to send a letter out on that had a camp trailer on schedule. It was the backside of schedule.
It was the back, yeah.
And before
we had it drafted, and I drove by again to see if it was still there, and it wasn't there. So
that one moved on its own. We don't know if they knew we were coming.
We're monitoring it, and it's on my to-do list. Although I've learned quickly that, you know, as things start to come in and calls are made, that there's not going to be a lot of time to just carve out for that. But in the next couple of weeks, it is my plan. I mentioned at the council meeting, I created a database last summer of potential code violations in Cagle in particular, and I want to revisit that. And I have pictures that I took last summer. I want to, you know, again, start the process, which means just sending a letter basically saying you are potentially in violation of code. And that's the very, very beginning, and the extreme is going to circuit court. And there's a lot in between, but there's certainly more that I think I could start to do about.
Well, we got the burned down house is gone, but then the other junk's there. So
it come back on fire too.
Yeah.
Well, someone burned it. Obviously, didn't catch on fire.
Did they?
No, the container that was held there, it caught back on fire.
Yeah.
Somebody had to lit that thing.
I think it was garbage in there. It just spontaneously combusted what was in there.
Who knows?
Okay, is that a new word? Combusted.
So we're going after the landowner there.
Google.
Trying to go after the landowner there to clean up the rest of it. Probably, yeah, there's not. What's the chance of that happening? Who knows? We got the goats. There was 12 goats on that street. They're gone.
Oh, yeah.
And that property, she got rid of them. Those are the ones I've talked to a couple times. Down on Cagle, we had another one. The school teacher in Redmond who had cleaned up partially and stopped. Him and I exchanged a month ago. Quite a bit of discussion on the phone, which is suitable for tape recorders. And he was down here that weekend, and he cleaned that up. Sometimes it takes those kind of talks. So it just, everyone's different. And, you know, it's just ongoing. So we just want people, when you see things, send them in. We prioritize them. And again, it's always sewage first, garbage, things like that, and we're a long ways from tackling anything beyond those. That's kind of the, but if you see something that you want us to, like say, it'll just get there. Most, maybe, I think Jefferson County has 200 on the list. I mean, that's just what it is. It's just, you take them, we can. We do more than most. Deschutes County hasn't even, I don't think they've hardly been to court. The other thing they got a $2,000 fine for the sewage from the trailer,
yeah,
which the judge.
So working with the county on some of that stuff too could be will be beneficial.
Right, because they do the sewage stuff.
Yeah.
And so and that's a pretty hefty doesn't find on that. But again, if something that they didn't show up for court, no one's gonna show up. The fines are just out there. So we have to work beyond the fines because our other option was to recite them.
Yeah.
And then the next fine is $250 or something, and the next one's $500. Well, you know, and so we went a different route. Where we're heading with that one is if it all works through, depending on if they respond or not and if they clean it up. If they don't clean it up, the city of Lapine, and it prevails in court. Now, ordinance has never been tested. That's other things going on. The ordinance has never been tested in court. It's a new ordinance. So, providing it's successful, we will then move toward abatement. And we will actually let out a contract or use our own crews. We will go in with a backhoe and our dump truck and Stu's drop boxes. And the city of Lapine, either us directly or someone we hire, will be scooping up garbage, keeping track of it, the costs, cleaning it up, hauled off, and then a lien and some other devices will be placed on the property. So if the property is sold or we take title to it, we would sell it, recoup the money. So those are all the unknowns. But that is where we're headed with that property.
Good. Okay, shall we proceed to other matters, item number 11? Gloria?
Well, let me back up on 8. You said discussion of planning tasks, but now are you identifying a bunch of planning tasks that we have to do, or was that
right? We haven't discussed that item yet. Can we discuss that, Ms. Oka?
Number 8.
Yeah.
I thought you did, but I guess you didn't.
Not quite. We're getting a lot of talking. This one was just by way of updating you of the things that the three of us have been discussing over the last couple weeks, of things that we need to take a look at over the next 6 months. And this is our initial communication with you, and a heads up to let you know that these will be coming down the pipe for you to discuss. I want to mention them. We don't have a lot of details at this point because we've just started this discussion. But the first one is to look at the sign ordinance. Right now, it appears that the sign ordinance may not have a mechanism for variance in there, and I need to confirm that and look at that a little bit more in detail. There are some variances in the zoning ordinance, some variants and exceptions, but I need to look at legally how it is tied to the signing ordinance and whether they apply. So I'll dig into that a little bit and then keep you posted. If it is something we need to draft language for, that would come to you to discuss.
Does that have anything to do with these signs that are down south?
Not that I'm aware of, but...
No, nothing to do with those.
Because I had asked to, you know, to bring that up with Corey when I talked to him the other day about, you know, there seemed to be confusion. Are these signs on the south side, or are they actually part of the city?
They're
outside the city limits. They're on private.
Some people say yes, and some people say no.
Well, the boundary is basically at the edge of our parking lot. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Straight across
Deschutes County.
So it's strictly a Deschutes County, and I can tell people it's not a city problem. It's not anything they can do anything about.
We can't.
Except complain. Okay.
And she just sent me a link yesterday or this morning or something that I looked at. It was a court case, but bottom line,
free speech.
You don't have to like or agree with the content of what's in the sign. If someone wants to put a protest sign on their property, or the owner allows it on their property, it's not a battle you'll win. You will not win that battle.
We will not.
We don't have time and money to take on battles that just are going nowhere.
And it's a public nuisance, and it's also a danger.
Because
people are trying to read it, it's on a main highway.
Go to Kirk County on Highway 26 going into town. It says Judge George Nielsen is a cocaine addict. George Nielsen stops and sees me every couple weeks. And he's a judge in Kirk and Jefferson, and he has to drive by it. And he says, but the reality is that person is free to basically say what they want.
This guy has already served time in jail.
That doesn't...
What's on the message? I'm just curious.
This internet, hackers.
It's gibberish.
It's text. It's text. That's bothered. Yeah. That's, okay. Yeah. I see.
Yeah. Well, you have to really look into it to get something out of it.
At least it's not like it used to be.
No.
When it was on the west side of 97.
It's on both sides.
Oh. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Last time I went through there, it was just on the...
Your beef is with the landowner. The landowner's letting him put them there.
Right. Yeah, and we don't need to get into this in a lot of detail right now, but there's a recent Supreme Court, U.S. Supreme Court case that is changing sign code across the country. And it was a very, very, I think, earth-shattering decision for the planning community as far as how sign codes are written and enforced. But without a lot of detail, basically reinforces that you cannot monitor content in a sign whatsoever because of First Amendment freedom of speech.
So many messages.
But the decision and the way it was written does extend out to a lot of other decisions that cities make. And this is within the last couple of months. So cities around the country are still trying to figure out how it affects them. Right now, you know, we feel like Lapine can see what everybody's learning from those and just watch it. But whenever decisions are made on sign code, need to be extremely, extremely careful.
Well, I just need to clarify, because like I said, I've heard people say it was in the city and it was out of the city, and it, you know.
We're the last tax lot.
I just want to make sure, you know, my husband drew the boundaries, and he's not even sure. Okay, I'm sorry.
That's okay. Okay, so the next item that we're starting to look at, I'm sure you're all aware that there are two maps right now that the city uses, and they should be in your binder, or at least will be in your binder when she's finished with them. There's the existing zoning map, which is how it is currently zoned for each individual parcel, and then there's a comp plan map, and that is the map that was used in the development of the comp plan to say where the city wants to go. It couldn't be adopted, a lot of those zonings couldn't be adopted in the existing zoning at the time that it was written, because there was no transportation system plan that was set in place and it was approved by the DLC at that point yet. However, the TSP is now, it is written, you've contracted with Kittles and Associates, and it is something that has been accepted by the DLC, so we can now look at trying to get our existing plan closer to that comp plan. That process would be a legislative action going through a large rezoning process. It would include public notification, all those property owners, adjacent property owners, lots of discussions at Planning Commission and Council level. And even before that, the research that we're going to start in-house and with the county is compiling a list of all the differences. So we can see how many parcels are there, and we can see it in general on the map, but how many parcels are there, how extreme are the changes, how many people do we need to contact in this process, and it'll give us a gauge of how long it's going to take, and is there going to be controversy with it or not, are there a couple individual parcels that maybe don't make sense for some reason. So we're just now starting that discussion, and I just want to let you know that we're talking about it to learn more about both the process as well as what changes would need to occur. As we start doing that, let us know if you have questions on the process or particular parcels, because I think you'll have both maps.
We did get some public comments when we did the comprehensive plan.
Okay.
Some people did not like the rezoning. Mm-hmm. A few, not much, but
okay.
A couple.
And those are the things that we'll have to start hearing about as we get into it. Okay. And we'll keep you updated on where we're at in that process, so that you understand the different steps that we're going through. But the first one, the first two discussions I will have are with the county and with DLC on that process, and we'll update you at our next meeting. And on that, just so you know, no decisions will be made on the zoning rezone and any parcels being rezoned without it coming to you for thorough discussion. The next discussion item that we're in the middle of is tying the transportation system plan and the stormwater management plan into the ordinances so they can be enforced. Rick, can you elaborate that on that based on your discussion with the attorneys? We have those two documents, but they aren't referenced in the ordinance. And Rick has received quite a bit of feedback from some of the attorneys, so we're going to start
looking
at that.
Yeah, so what happened there, the transportation system plan was adopted a couple years ago, or whatever, or longer, but that was never actually referenced in our zoning ordinance. So when someone applies for something, even though we have a transportation system plan, it says you have roads this wide, sidewalks this wide, and all of that. So that plan's been adopted, spent $100,000 on it. Because it was never then adopted into the zoning ordinance, when you go tell someone, well, you need to follow the transportation system plan, we had an attorney. So that's how complicated these things get. The attorneys come out quickly. They said, no, blah. Where in your ordinance does it say we have to follow that? Yo, you have a plan, that's great. It's a nice plan over here, but we follow this. So what you have to do is have, and our zoning ordinance is going to have to reference that you must follow the transportation system plan. Another plan is the stormwater management plan, runoff water, all of that. We were out telling people, well, you need to do X, Y, Z with runoff water based off of the Central Oregon plan. Well, they also raised that, so, but it's not in here. So those again, something that you're learning, new city, so those things weren't done. That's something we need to get done here soon. I think, you know, in the next 30, 60 days, you can just, I mean, the plan's already there, so it's just a matter of amending the ordinance, but maybe that's a time you'll change a couple other things, but I think we don't want to wait a year on that, because we need people to have to follow that, that can be applying now or in the immediate future.
All right. Mm-hmm.
But you can't retroactive. If they make application, it's whatever's on the books then.
Yeah, and those are things that you know, we don't have to get frustrated by or upset about that they were left out. It's just there are so many things that go into starting a city, and these are the things that we're here to work on and strengthen and tie together. So it's just a work in progress and always will be. Okay, the next and the next item that we're going to work on over, you know, really over quite a long time, but that I like to do when I start with the city is really just look at the processes. And is it clear when somebody walks in the door, where do they need to go? And, you know, they come in with it for a pre-application meeting, which is, I think, extremely helpful. We had one this afternoon and just tried to guide them as far as, you know, when's the county get involved, when sometimes the state needs to get involved with certain approvals, and what does the city have responsibility for? So I'm going to start going through, as time and budget allows, the different applications, the different processes and checklists to make sure that there's enough notification out there for the public when they come in the door, for developers, as to what's required for every step in the process. So again, that won't require any decisions on staff's part for new processes. It's just sorting through a very large binder of ordinances so the public doesn't have to do that. But I think it'll be really good for you all to have copies of what we're working with so that you know what the public sees when they walk in the door. So when those are revised or changed at all, if they even need to be, you can get copies of those and put them in binders so you know what we're working with. And those are the main, very broad things that are coming up that I had on my list. Corey, did you have anything else?
I think you covered it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Does anyone have any questions of what Tammy's gone over? No?
And if I could just add one other thing, just based on budget and time, these things will occur as prioritized on a list. The budget allows me to have about 8 to 10 hours a week helping the city, and some weeks will be more and some weeks will be less. If I have a slow week with applications coming in, then I can jump onto some of these. And obviously some of these are higher priority, and so they get done a lot quicker. But and don't be surprised if something doesn't come back as a decision for you next month. Some of them will take several months to get through the process due to budgets and just making sure we're doing the priority items first.
Okay. Okay, anyone in the audience have any questions about what we've just gone over, or comments to make? No?
I think I'd say one by your invitation. I think it's counterproductive to look behind you and where we've come from. You've got three of the finest staff that a city could have to help you and guide you. And I have total faith in their being, and we have a new planner. Her credentials speak for herself, for themselves. I think looking forward is your best option, and trusting your staff. We do at the city council level, and I know you do too, but I would just say that.
Good, thank you.
I'd love to know where the planning process is on the property across from the schools that we're going to put in that big subdivision, or is there anything at all going on that?
That the apartments?
Yeah.
That is right now, I think, I would say as of right now, technically it would be waiting for their attorneys. It's all legaled up, so there's attorneys on all sides. It's in abeyance, basically. The time restraints are on hold as this is being worked out. So it's much more legalistic, and we are, right now, technically, they are, will be coming. We're waiting for them to come back to us, and they just haven't. So it's in the middle of the process, I guess, is how I would call that. And it's because it's a several acre large 70 something like that units, you know, and we're trying to get you know, our site plan ordinance, working with our site plan ordinance, which is some, yeah, I'm sure there'll be some tweaks in that over the next year, but we're living with what we have, and you know, you work through it, and that's where you find some of these things that you would probably have in there differently if you were writing it again, you know, but until you have one of those, you don't know that. So that's kind of, I don't know where that will all end up. You know, it could be a year, I mean.
Well, my point is, if we're asked about it, we can say without any qualms at all that it's in the planning process.
Oh, yeah.
And that's it. I mean, yeah. You should pretty much stop there.
Yeah, I mean, it's in, well, I mean, yeah, it's in the site plan process. So you're talking about water lines, sewer lines, and sidewalks, and where do sidewalks go, and how wide are the sidewalks, and, you know, ADA. And
the city's using the TSP as the foundation for the requirements of the development. Is that correct, Rick?
Yeah.
Okay, well, so there's no outlandish requirements from the city other than what has been already created through a systemic process in the TSP. I just wanted to clarify that.
Yeah. Well. Are they working with the issues planning on that?
No, they're not at the planning department yet because they have to first get the site plan. Mm-hmm. But you get into these, it's the width of the road. It's the, how big is the cul-de-sac? The fire code says it has to be so many feet. The one for then it was well less than that.
Yeah, well, actually, they got ahead of themselves on that whole situation, yeah, didn't they?
Well, no. Well, not really. I mean, you wouldn't go to the county yet anyway. So that we're the first stop. You get a site plan approved. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know how they've gotten where they are, and they don't know how we are where we are, probably. And it's just, I've heard you guys over the year when that project would come up, I've heard you and your comments. I know exactly what you all kind of want, and we're all on the same page, and we're just trying to make sure that if a project is built, that it functions as designed. And that means that two cars can cross paths, and that when you have a road that's, you know, I mean, quite the whole length of the place, basically, or three quarters of it, and the garbage truck is there, and you have a road of X width, and their little arm comes out and picks up the thing, and they're heading that way, and then they stop at the next house 10 feet away, and you're trying to get to your house at the end of the street, you will wait till the garbage truck's done, half hour later, or you will honk and he will try to pull over. And then when we're pumping septic tanks, which take 30 minutes per stop, you will sit behind that. Those are the things we're trying to avoid. And so, you know, the first set of plans didn't have a sidewalk to the mailbox. The first set of plans didn't have where you even pull over to a mailbox. So you're going to have 70 people going to one big box, 70. And the only way, if you're coming home from work, you stop your car in the middle of the road. And you have to get out as a driver, go around to the box, the back side, so anyone else entering or exiting is waiting for you. Then if two of them are doing it, at 5 o'clock, you could have four or five doing this. Those are the things that we're raising and trying to keep from happening. And in the latest plans, there is a pullout. So, you know, it's a process. And I think on a big project like that, you know, we're trying to do what we do. Developers are trying to do what they do. Sometimes they're opposite goals, but getting there is then problematic. And we're working through it.
On that same note, what's happening with the Mid-Oregon Credit Union?
That one's like 95% done. We're
still negotiating with them? Or?
Yeah, basically, it's just what ended up kind of, one of the mistakes we did do early on a couple of these, we did not have an engineer, our engineer, which we're actually going out for an RFP for an engineer of record. We didn't have somebody doing from an engineering standpoint look at the plans. And so, you know, when you look at the department one, it was more of a planning, kind of a planning side review. And then eventually I said, you know, wait a second here. We need to, you know, pay someone, an engineer, to come in and actually, on behalf of the city, start looking at things. And that's when they start really getting into some of the details. The same is said there. So what happened was we had worked everything out pretty much, but then the TSP required a wider road. Because what they want is the ability to have a left turn lane all the way from Huntington at this end to at least down to Memorial Victory Way, down past the Senior Center and all of it. Because as you know, the post office and all these things, yeah, people turning left, yeah, and you have a couple left turn lanes. So what we want to do is get the land acquired now when you're doing it. So you want to make sure the sidewalks are set back. Kind of like if you saw Rex's, not the sidewalks back. He's back to where that is, that curb line is where you ultimately, if you're going to have a left turn lane, and each side gives up half. So then, we came to the bank and said, you know what, we really need to move back a few feet so that we're all set. And they said, they're fine with that, and they're gonna put a left turn lane, because if you guys that drive it, if you start allowing people turning left and they are in the middle of in the road, guess what happens? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They start backing up. And so, and they've agreed to do that. So that's the only little thing they were drawing, but everything else is in place, and we have no disagreements with them. It's just the process on that one. So I think they'll, I don't know when they'll start on it. Any other projects you wonder about, or any of the rumors you all say?
Oh, yeah. Well, where you took the tavern down over there, you know, across the bare land there. Now, is that,
so in commercial, it could be someone would have to apply for something.
Okay, and yeah, it has electric and plumbing in still, right?
Well, in reality, you start over on that. I mean, it's, there's, of course, electrical plumbing and sewers around it, but.
And kind of, I would like you to kind of refresh my mind on that property up there where the Carver used to be. You said something about the ODOT owning that now?
Yeah, so ODOT, where the Wood Carver was, that whole stretch along there, out north, ODOT bought the access rights to that entire length of property from three, well actually they bought a couple lots, and then they actually bought it for the bigger owner, they bought the rights. So there is no longer access available along Highway 97 onto those properties. It's been purchased, signed, agreed to by both parties. They were paid money, and they took their money, and they were happy to take it. So there is no access. The access is off Drafter, so they will come around from behind. Now, the owner of the property needs to develop the access. And I talked to him on the phone, and he said he would do it the next month. What he's done so far, you see the person with the little log cabins and little playhouses, they're still accessing off the highway. So in that case, the landowner has been paid to not have access, nor provided the access that he's supposed to build to give access. So that's just a new thing to deal with. And but yet the people that are doing the little the log carver, we've been working with, and Edco's been working with, and they've looked in the industrial park. So you've got the kind of someone trying to do a new business from scratch. They're very nice people, don't have a lot of money. They're renting from someone on a little lease. The only access they're provided is off the highway, but the access has been sold by the guy they're renting from. You know. They have no business license. They have not come in and applied for anything yet.
They might have just submitted that yesterday.
Okay, so we went out and we kind of worked, and we sent in some things. Again, you use lots of love with people as they're starting out. You're trying to be, you know, very very pro business and try to get you have to get people to comply with, you know, and kind of educate them as to why it's necessary. And this is the very early stages on that particular project. We have one in the industrial park. If you want to drive by, we are out scoping around looking for issues. The larger new one in the middle of the industrial park, back just down from the Stu and them, which was the, Mills of Log Yard, and the big one in the middle that had mud over the road all the time.
Scott's?
Who?
Scott's?
Oh, no, Scott's were there. This has been vacant for a few couple years. But anyway, we noticed, we were out working on someone else who wants to expand back there. And we're doing a couple of land leases we're working on, but those have not been negotiated or agreed to. But we said, what's this thing? So we, and Corey and I were out there, and we see, you know, there's 20 logs, and then you come back a week later, there's 100 logs, and there's a couple hundred logs, and then there's a trailer house that's the office, and now it looks like a nice full operation going in there, and we had never heard a word, we know nothing about it, we don't know what they're doing. They had cleared the land and built big berms all the way around it, so you have mud with wood in this big berm. And so Corey went out and left him a card. And
dropped off a business license, left him a card at the end of last week, spoke to the owner, who's an independent contractor of a larger company based out of Seattle. Long story short, we've had some complaints about the dust, but they're also not the only wood operation on that side of the tracks in the industrial park. So long story short, we're going to be setting up a conference call and having a meeting with them maybe Friday or early next week.
I see they have to get a site plan.
Yeah.
It was a vacant piece of ground that had been vacant for a long time. There was nothing there. They're obviously using outhouses, and you know, so you know, it's but first we've got to sit down once and just find out what they are, who they are, how long are they staying, what are they doing, and then you know, try to work from there. But they will have to, you know, we have to know what they're doing. They will have to file a formal site plan. So we use it. We chase these around.
Okay, let's move on to other matters, Gloria.
Okay. Yeah. We handled the medical marijuana. And I told Tony DeBone they needed to set something in place so we could copy it for the county, or we wouldn't have to worry about it. But they didn't. So what do we do now? What do we have to do on the recreational marijuana? Do we have to change any of the ordinances that we have already in place? I mean, are they good for both?
We don't know. The county, you notice, is taking time out on that. After they had their meeting, they found out they got themselves into a hornet's nest. And that's where you go, you know, pretty quickly. And so I think they're going to punt on it. Reading the comments in the paper, acted like that they're going to allow it in the county.
Houston, right? So they opt out.
No, that was Crook County.
Crook County?
Yeah, Crook County did. Deschutes County, all three commissioners were quoted in the story, and all three of them were probably didn't sound to be opting out. Crook County, of course, that's a different story. But
the city of Lapine has an individual option of opting out.
We would have to, if we want to ban it, we would have to put it to a vote of the people, because the county passed medical marijuana, or recreational marijuana, passed into Deschutes County. If you're within a county that it passed, actually it could have been defeated by a few votes, but we're actually one that passed, so that's new. If then the city has to, you have to refer it to the voters. If it hadn't passed by 55-45, the council could vote to ban. If it was closer than that, and in our case the county had passed by 1%, it requires, again, don't have anything in front of me, but it requires a vote of the people. The city would have to order a vote, and then there'd be a campaign, and then people would vote on it. And you'd have to decide what it is you're banning and all the different things with it. So we haven't had anyone ask for that. We haven't had anyone come in, and we've had no, since the medical guys have come in, we haven't had a comment or an email from anyone.
Okay, so we, you know, for now we don't.
And I heard the mayor of Redmond on the radio today, and you know, he said that the, you know, there's kind of, he says, well, his quote was, you can go listen to him on news, we're gonna let the, right now they're letting the dust settle, because they asked him about recreational. They've got a medical marijuana I had a band, but now I don't know if they have a band. They might, I'm not sure where they are. But his was, there's so many things, so many balls in the air on this that it's you don't know where to go. And so, because the obviously the medical's here, and the medical places will probably become recreational, because I think after October 1st,
mm-hmm.
they can start selling recreational,
mm-hmm.
is what will happen.
That's, now, yeah.
Their hours of operations are limited. You know, I don't know if we are going to need to have time, place, and manner restrictions on the recreational. Kind of like you could take maybe our medical rules and duplicate them.
That's what I was wondering.
And they're going to come out. I don't know if the OLCC is who's regulating this. Has got all of what their rules are going to be yet. So that's kind of where we are. And I mean, you know, again, it comes down to in a small city of 1,600. Where do we? Is it codes? Is it apartment buildings of 70 units? I mean, where do you put your? Because we have to, you know, our attorneys. We spent thousands of dollars on medical marijuana of legal fees. And so, you know, the council gets to set the priorities. If the council says, we want you to go do this, and we're going to make sure the allocation or the money is going to be spent on it, and that's where the priority is, and we would go do it. But that hasn't happened to date. And we have to go figure out what problem we're solving. I mean, at this point, we haven't.
It would be the city council then that would give us direction on that, but they wouldn't, because I mean it would be the city council that would decide whether they're going to put it up for a vote.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
They would have to do that.
And then
there's like six cities or under 10 cities have done a ban at this point out of the 250.
And the other one, I'm involved in the beautification, those quarry, which is going to making La Pine shine.
Right.
And there's a group, the city and the chamber and everybody's supporting it. But when I started looking into, I was looking for our weed ordinance. Where would I find that? I don't remember.
Ordinance of weeds, of just, it'd be nuisance.
Yeah, property, it would be under the nuisance, I would think.
Some fire departments have them, but our fire department, when we've asked them from blank on it, you have, I think, or some of you went down there, I believe, but they're not enforcing anything to do with weeds. I think the response was that's going to be the fire department.
Yeah, they said they don't really care about it, all they do is put out fires.
But do we technically have a weed ordinance?
We have in our nuisance abatement ordinance.
Okay.
It talks about weeds, junk, and debris.
Okay, that's where it is, where it's,
yes.
Okay.
Well,
but again, we have not,
enforced.
Are way away from weeds.
Right.
I mean, it's just not possible. We have to deal with garbage, septic, sewage on the ground.
Right.
Well, what about that weed guy from Bend? He was at a council meeting here about a year ago.
That's noxious weeds.
Well, and this noxious weed's one of them that, you know, we are dealing with. And that, on a positive note, this thing is really picking up, and we're getting a lot of excitement, a lot of people involved, and there's a lot of all volunteers, and they're willing to help businesses clean up and willing to help, especially in the quarry area where everybody sees it. But knapweed spreads so bad that anytime you see knapweed, get rid of it. But we've had experts down, you know, trying to help educate people, and you'll be seeing a lot of that. And hopefully the idea is to get everybody, you know, get more pride going and getting everybody cleaning up their businesses and their houses. So
you know, in a lot of cities, and again, we're new and we're also rural in how we think a little bit. And you know, it's if you push too hard too fast,
mm-hmm.
you know, we're just trying to get the sewer and water rates to where they need to be in a system. And you know, you saw, you know, how that went over with a few people. So, you know, you have to be careful. And you start piling things on too quick, too fast, too many of them, and you will be successful at none of them.
Yep.
Most cities have an ordinance that requires all lots mowed down to 6 inches. If your lot is above 1 acre, you must, then it's too big to mow, you have to border it. And those are citywide ordinances. I think in Lapine, you guys can tell me, I'm not sure that our public as a whole is ready to be required to mow all of their acre down to 6 inches. You know, maybe five of you would say, yeah, I'll do it, but, you know, when you get out there, and what the cities do is they go home and bill you. You know, I just don't know that in August of 2015, the council's ready to go there. And it would take enforcement. I mean, they send letters out, the city staff sends out demand letters that you must mow it or else. Maybe that's a 2016 or 17, you know, I don't know. That's again, the council has to set what are their priorities and you, where are you? Right now people struggle with just having to do some basic entry level planning things.
Well, like I said, the people that are involved are very positive and excited about it. It's they're taking it on as a positive thing. You know, it's not, but this came up.
Yeah.
And I was looking through and I thought it fell under the nuisance, but I didn't see anything about specifically about waste. It does talk about trash.
Talk about it.
Yeah.
But if we want to go further, and then, see, those are more vague. It's accumulation of debris and weeds.
Right.
And so, but these other ones would get down to actual, I mean, they'll tell you it must be so many inches or less.
Okay. That was it. That's what I wanted to know.
That purple knotweed.
Oh, it's awful.
It's all over Cable. Yeah. It's everywhere.
Yeah.
And people just let it grow because it's a pretty wildflower. That's what it is.
That's part of it is the education. And people don't realize that it destroys everything else in its path.
People will go through and they'll cut it.
Yeah, and the seeds go. Yep.
And all that does is scatter the seed.
It makes it worse. Makes it worse.
Getting?
Thanks for letting me speak.
Absolutely.
I have been wondering about a thing. A little over a year ago, and I forget what the meeting was, but it was a big public meeting here, and we had county personnel here, and someone brought up the topic of the county doing their pre-emergent spraying. Along the roads. And I forget which county official it was, and he said, well, no, he said they had stopped doing that in Lapine since we incorporated. They just didn't really think about it, but said that, you know, they wouldn't mind, that they would go ahead and continue doing that. I don't know if it just stopped there, but it kind of seems like it did because, man, the weeds are just, that knapweed is nasty.
That's the weed guy that I was talking about earlier, and after that council meeting when he laid it all out, they've never come back. It's been over a year. They've never been back.
Wondering because we can ask
Scott. Email Scott and have him call the county weed guy.
That was John Valley who made that pledge and announcement about the not thinking they had to, and then they looked into it and found they did. And he is the weed control manager under Ed Keith at the county. So he's the guy.
And, you know, the reality is that 90% of the roads in the city are county roads anyway, and they're county roads, and the county decides if they're going to weed them. We don't.
Yeah.
We don't. We wouldn't have any legal responsibility to be weeding on someone else's land.
But I said, that makes a huge difference when they were doing that. And I lost ground on mine when my hip started getting so bad. And then last year I had my first good year and I gained a little ground. But I think that I was still losing because the county wasn't doing that spraying. And this year it has just been mad. So if we could get the county to remember to do that again, I think that would make a huge difference.
That'd be good.
If I could make one comment, I think that we're seeing here in this resurgence of knapweed is, remember we had that 2-week rain period?
Mm-hmm.
And I mean it flooded. I mean there was water standing everywhere. I think that the first growth of knapweed laid out their seeds. And all of this stuff, a lot of this stuff, I won't say all, is actually new stuff. All around my property, that's on other people's property because I take care of mine. is new stuff, you know, but it's blooming quicker. Instead of getting up this tall, it's actually blooming at you know, 10, 12, 14 inches. So I think that's where a lot of that comes, but it's everywhere. Yeah. It's even on city property.
Yeah, I know. I saw it.
Where's some at? I took a
group that wanted to do some benevolent work to the park and ride.
Oh.
And they agreed to, you know, weed eat and clean up the park and ride for me. And I looked over into the pump station, and the knapweed is totally in there.
Yeah.
It's about this tall.
Is that what's in there now?
Yeah.
Oh, I by the way, looked at that, I thought we planted wildflowers.
Yeah, that's what a lot of people also think.
But also, I actually thought that they didn't need weeded. I was going to, because of the flowers.
No.
There you go. You know. That's what everybody thinks, but also at the old district office area for Public Works, that weeds are overgrowing down there. So,
They're bad everywhere.
We need to make sure ours are down.
Right.
And we're splitting up, or you know, the group's splitting up into teams, and that's mainly what they're after is snapweed. But it's mostly the areas that you can see too. So.
But you need, too,
you need to go through Crescent Creek because you go through there. We had one person drive through there that might possibly be interested in buying a piece of property. And after they drove through, they said, "I don't want to live in a ghetto." That was their words because the way some of the property owners are taking care of their vacant lots.
Well, the Newberry Eagle just came out, and it's got a big article about knapweed. Whatever you do, don't weed whack it. But that's easy to say when you're looking at a whole field.
You got
to
pull it and burn it.
You have to pull it and burn it.
I'm going to go by Don's house and see if he has a weed.
But we have several representatives from Crescent Creek that are involved. So, but you'll be hearing a lot about this in the next couple of months. Anyway.
Okay. Planning Commissioner comments. Don, starting with you.
I just made my comment.
Thank you a lot.
I'm okay.
I'm very glad to meet you and welcome aboard. And glad to have another meeting.
Yes.
Norman?
No, it's good to have you aboard, and we need this.
Yeah.
We really need to look forward, look to the future. We do.
And I agree with that 100%. I think you'd be a valuable addition to our city. Always correct. And don't forget Friday. Oh, by the way, we're going to have a little Friday from... you'll never guess who. E.D. Kendall is going to come and see you in
court. See me.
And let me give you an advance warning. She's mad as hell. I'm personally getting tired of her cornering me at the senior center, beating up on me.
But you saw my response to that was that we were going to send Scott over. I mean, I want all of you to just, if you get in your car and go drive some side, I mean, walk some sidewalks in any town, you know, and it's, as I told Brady, just because a person thinks they need something fixed on their sidewalk, that in and of itself doesn't trip us going out and spending $2,000 on a sidewalk. They've made their comment, we've heard it, and yes, does it have a crack? It might have a crack. But there's sidewalks all over the place that have cracks. And those sidewalks would be repaired when it reaches a point that it has to be, and I think that what's going on is a little personality issues. I don't know, but we will see where it ends up. But obviously, Scott was going to go look at it, and I think he is our public works manager, can make a recommendation. Does that need, you know, is it something that's a big safety issue? Is it something that, you know, or is it just an aesthetic issue?
What about a fire hydrant that's behind a tree that's blocking it so you can't see it from the road? Would that be something Scott would look into, or the fire department?
I don't know. we can, you can just email. It really helps if you email, then we have a record, and then we forward it, rather than one-on-one visits.
Yeah, I understand.
But email it, and then we can have them. I mean, the problem is, if it's on private property, we go cut in someone's bush. You know, everything government does is complicated because of, you know, people's rights and all the different things. So,
well, just remember, I only brought it up for one reason, so that you'd have a heads up.
Yeah. No, that's perfectly fine. And like, they didn't want to wait for the public works manager to look at it.
Nope. I want to talk to you. Okay. Anything else from anybody?
Next week. Huh?
Yeah, that was the next one. Okay. September 16th from 6 to 8. We have the opportunity to have the Architecture Sarah Architects in from Portland to talk about downtown goals and revitalizations and a teaser for ideas of some architecturally developed strategies for improved downtowns. And Rick has a lot more background on that, but it's a grant through DLC to provide that opportunity to us. So we thought it would be a great idea to have Planning Commission at the same time, so it can start that discussion and we can all be on the same page as far as what the ideas are and the goals and things that they're presenting.
So it'll be an informational meeting with question and answer for the public in general, but it's your regular night to meet.
Yeah.
And because it's all about beautification type, downtown, what downtowns look like, planning for parking lots and buildings and all of that, signage, and so it really fits exactly what you do. I said, you know, maybe just make that kind of a, not even, you don't even do a formal meeting at that point. You could sit and listen and participate, but be here. Secondly, if you wanted, I told you, if you wanted to meet at 5 or something, there at 6 for an hour on any planning commission things, you can meet upstairs, you know, in the little conference hall up there and, you know, have a little session and then come down. And we don't want it to be where you're opening your meeting and closing your meeting and doing flag salutes and things. This is open for everyone. But I would like you to comment because it'll be very educational, interesting. They got 100 and some PowerPoint slides, and I looked at it. They had me review it yesterday. It looks good, and they're going to go tweak it some more. But that's all something that'll work well.
And we can 16th yes. September, and we can check in with you a week or two, probably 2 weeks beforehand, to let you know if there's any applications that have come in or if there's anything that you all need to discuss and review and then decide whether you need to meet it at 5 o'clock to squeeze all
that's
that
good.
In. But I've seen the work that they've done. They did some work in Redmond, and they're very interactive, and they've got a lot of creative solutions and can show us what cities around the country are doing to revitalize downtown.
So and who's putting it on?
Sarah Architects out of Portland.
They did Sisters Downtown Redo that just was done last year. They like, and they're working on Galveston and Bend, which the council rejected on a 4-3 vote. But you know, so they're in the area in towns our size, you know, working in Sisters. But they're a Portland firm. They seem to be pretty good. And I think like then the next phase of that would involve, because then we were talking today about then that would become some of those things could lead us to the next thing would be to get some of that stuff into codes. So that when people build, they have to meet some requirements for some of these things. And right now, it's more of a would you, and then it would move toward, you know, you're going to have a certain range of items to follow. Mm-hmm. So this will kind of give you a teaser of what it could look like and what other communities are doing.
A situation like that, are they pretty lenient on variances?
It's up to the, you know, it's up to the city. I've seen it can be from broad spectrum. You know, in a small city that's just starting up and trying to keep everybody happy and working towards the same goal, you can start out with tackling, you know, smaller things and offering a lot of variances for other things. You know, some of them go very extreme and say, no, you shall have a brown sided natural stone building that matches everything else in the street. Obviously, that's not where Lapine is going to start. Some cities will be in the middle and have a design review code that's in the code, but they have to meet a certain number of points, so you give them a lot of options. You can get a certain number of points for having this color of a building, certain number of points for having stone, for, you know, and certain number of points for having your parking behind the building and your building up front to the street, so it's a more interactive setting for the public. But it doesn't mean they have to qualify and meet every single one of those requirements. So there's a lot of opportunity for cities to come up with some creative solutions for downtowns that don't just say, this is the way it shall be.
We had a little bit of that on that urban, when we did the urban renewal stuff, right?
Well, urban renewal will be a funding stream to help us initiate the stuff. So what is kind of this, it's a the mayor and the council and everyone is kind of moving us along in this process. So the first urban renewal, we knew it was going to need 2 or 3 years to make money. So you kind of get it done, go put it on a bookshelf, forget about it. Now then, during that waiting time, we then went, got Sierra Architects, applied for that. That's going to give us kind of the 10,000 foot level of what it can be. Then they have money available in the same fund, because I talked to them when I did this, to fund the next level, which would be maybe working it a little deeper into more detail, ultimately getting it into the code. Then you get it into the code, then you know that you start working your way. It's a, you know, it's a several year process, so you know we can get there with it and do some of that. And she's real right on, you know, you're not going to be strict as sisters or something anywhere near it, but if you allow just total variances, guess what everyone's going to do,
right?
Ask for variance. So you have to have a certain level. But I like her, you know, you were talking today, and that's something you could teach us more on, the kind of a matrix of things. I think you're saying, well, if you're willing to put your building up front, you know, the bottom line is really saying is you aren't going to be allowed to build a pumping block, flat building with a flat roof in the back of the lot with parking in the front. Now, so maybe you're going to move your building to the front and you put some different little features on it with wood, then you don't have to do the stone, or you don't have to do a wainscoting up 3 feet. You know, it's all of that. And so maybe there's 20 options, and you're going to have to pick 5 to 7 of them. And you get to decide with your builder and designer which ones you're going to use. You know, where if you're super strict, like some of these towns, Madras had a paint requirement, and they had like, and that just, you know, caused people fits. But you know what was funny about it? That, you know, those little cards you get that have paint things. It's just that it was like 250 colors, and then people would say, "Well, my color's not in there." And they had a building that was, and it goes back to you get these ordinances. So they painted it kind of a rust. I don't know, a rust, some people have said it had too much red in it type thing. Anyway.
I love that building.
The city went to it and told them, oh, that doesn't meet our code. Well, they went out, and that's real easy to pick on a city. You know, so they threw that. So those people, when I got in the newspaper, said, oh, the city's saying our new paint job doesn't meet their code. Well, then 90% of all the people, what did they do? Oh, that city. God almighty, I can't believe the city's downtown. They painted the building, and now they're in trouble for the color. So, again, good intentions. The city had repealed that and has changed the wording in it. So when you get into those things, you have to be very careful how you do it. Mm-hmm. And that's why in Lapine, these really are baby steps. Right now, we're trying to get people, and Corey heard it 3 times in the last week, you're going to have a site plan. It must be hired. They have to be professional engineers. You cannot, I mean, we're just trying to get people to hire an engineer to draw something. You know, we had someone provide us some plans, and it was done by an engineer, and the person is a nuclear physicist. Well, that's nice. But it doesn't have a lot to do with a site plan. So, you know, it's that kind of stuff. So, you take these in baby steps. So we're a ways from picking paint colors. But you start down that. And, you know, the sign ordinance is kind of funny. You know, we've had, since you guys met, we did quite a few. We had a little rush. We have quite a few sign, 4 or 5, probably since Corey's been here for the last 6 or 7 weeks. 6 weeks. But, you know, and, you know, we had one come in, and it was moving a sign. It was twice as big as it could be. And Carlson sign, you know, came and said, hey, and I looked at it. And then, now we did, she wasn't actually here yet, but we didn't go to him, because I mean, I can read a sign ordinance. And said, no, it's, you know, it had to be 40, I think it was 48 feet, square feet, and it's like 80 something. It's not 52. If it was 52 feet, guess what we would have done? Mm-hmm. Take it. Mm-hmm. It's double the size. And they said, no. You said no. And then you know, you have to go through the emotional parts of that. And I paid a price for that a little bit. Because, you know, that starts the nipping around. But that comes with the job I got. But then it wasn't a month later, Carlson called and said, oh, we just shrunk the sign, redid it, and they made it 48 feet. It's the right height, meets the sign code. So we've had, actually all of them are meet, all the ones we've had have met, these last ones have all been willing to meet the sign code.
The new signs are beautiful, the ones mm-hmm. I've seen put in too. I'm very happy with all the new signs we've got.
Yeah, you know, we had one guy that had come over with one that's kind of hand done, and then he went and got the guy we're on, William Foss, and then he went and got the sign company to actually draw it up. So it's, we said, well, it needs to look like it's going to look.
Yeah.
And he did, and I think that one's fine. I don't remember if we've approved that one. Or if he's ready yet, but we're fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
And even the second marijuana dispensary, you know, we went over and met with him, and his sign that he submitted to us originally was too big, and we made him shrink it in. And you know, when he shrunk it in, he says, "Gosh, it looks better than the one next to me." I guess it was a comment to you or something.
Yeah.
And so people seem to be, our sign ordinance allows enough that by and large, I had one. Well, that guy asked about putting on the roof. Or something, I don't know. Or maybe, did we allow him a roof sign, or was kind of...
Well, we did, because that building is set back from 97, there's trees, there's no
space. And the ordinance said you could.
Yeah, there was an exception.
Which most cities ban, but our ordinance said you can't under special circumstance.
Yeah.
So we allowed it. So, you know, those are kind of examples of people that seem to be working out, is the sign... the sign stuff right now.
Okay, unless there's anything else, I'll take adjournment. Can't even talk to
them.
Make a motion to adjourn. Thanks.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.